It was the dawn of the third age of mankind, 10 years after the Earth-Minbari War. The Babylon Project was a dream given form. Its goal, to prevent another war by creating a place where humans and aliens could work out their differences peacefully. It's a port of call, home away from home for diplomats, hustlers, entrepreneurs, and wanderers. Humans and aliens wrapped in 2,500,000 tons of spinning metal, all alone in the night. It can be a dangerous place, but it's our last best hope for peace. This is the story of the last of the Babylon stations. The year is 2258. The name of the place is Babylon 5.
Babylon Project was our last, best hope for peace. A self-contained world 5 miles long, located in neutral territory. A place of commerce and diplomacy for 250,000 humans and aliens. A shining beacon in space, all alone in the night. It was the dawn of the third age of mankind, the year the Great War came upon us all. This is the story of the last of the Babylon stations. The year is 2259. The name of the place is Babylon 5.
The Babylon Project was our last best hope for peace. It failed. But in the year of the Shadow War, it became something greater. Our last best hope for victory. The year is 2260. The place, Babylon 5.
It was the year of fire.
The year of destruction.
The year we took back what was ours.
It was the year of rebirth.
The year of great sadness.
The year of pain.
And a year of joy.
It was a new age.
It was the end of history.
It was the year everything changed.
The year is 2261. The place, Babylon 5.
There is a hole in your mind.
What do you want?
No one here is exactly what he appears.
Nothing's the same anymore.
Commander Sinclair is being reassigned.
Why don't you eliminate the entire non-homeworld line?
I see a great hand reaching out of the stars.
Who are you?
President Clark has signed a decree today declaring
these
martial
orders
law.
Have forced us to declare independence.
Let's let people get off their encounter-suited butts and do something.
You are the one who watched.
To Zahadu, you will die.
Why are you here? Do you have anything worth living for?
I think of my beautiful city in flames.
Giants in the playground.
Now get the hell out of our galaxy!
We are here to place President Clark under arrest.
Who are you?
Matthew Gideon, Captain. Attached to the Earth Alliance Starship Excalibur.
What do you want?
To find a cure to the Drak plague before it wipes out all life on Earth.
Where are you going?
Anywhere I have to.
Who do you serve? And who do you trust?
And welcome back to the last official Babylon podcast. I am Summer Brooks. I am Tim Callender.
I am Jeremy Heide.
Oh my God, that opening sequence was as long as this entire series has been that you guys been doing. I fell asleep.
And yes, you know who that is.
I'm back. It's Jeffrey in Koshville.
Yay, Jeffrey.
It literally was the only way I could think of to encompass the history of what we've done here and to hear some of the voices that we've lost during that time.
Yes. Yes. And I guess that just shows how long we've been doing this. The fact that, I mean, I'm not saying this is as a necessarily a happy thing, but an observation, but you know, that so many passed while we were involved in doing this. And, you know, the tragedy is some of those voices we didn't get a chance to talk to.
Yeah.
But,
well, there's a few of us still around. So if you guys want to keep on doing it for another 5 or 6 years, I'm sure eventually we'll all start peeling off and, you know, you can continue to honor us posthumously.
Well, Jeffrey, you see that cup of hemlock that's there by your right elbow?
Could
you just take a sip for me, please?
Yeah, we have a special thing going on for the last episode.
But no, we are planning to do a little something in honor of the 20th anniversary of the gathering, which is next year.
20th?
20th.
Yep. 20 years.
Yep.
Ouch.
You were just, what?
A young
3 years old when that started.
I was 7. I was already second grade, yeah.
Yep, 20 years of Babylon 5.
Yep, and 20 years of the podcast. Oh my goodness.
closing in on 10, it feels like, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I mean, let me see. I have had opportunity to reflect on this a little bit throughout the day. I picked up my daughter to get her to school, and I mentioned tonight is the last ever Babylon podcast. She goes, "Are you sad?" And I said, "Well, you know what? I wasn't really until I just said that." And I mean, I don't necessarily want to get particularly maudlin about it, but I mean, it's just, I just think about where it started and where we've ended up with this. And, you know, even excluding the untimely passing of some of the stars and crew members that have brought us a show that we love so much. The fact is, did you ever think that we'd see New Babylon 5 in the Lost Tales, that we would get the books that Captain Jacqueline and her crew were putting out? Yeah. You know, and I have to say that, you know, I visit places, you know, websites like IO9, and there seems to be a strongly vocal Babylon 5 contingent on any given posting that has to do with various science fiction-y topics. And in fact, the most recent one that I noticed, well, there was one about various spaceships, not aerodynamically looking spaceships, you know, post your favorite pictures. And there were a handful of the Agamemnon that people were mentioning and Star Furies. But with there was a something one of the curiosity scientists sort of made a mention in passing that they were looking at some potentially earth-shaking results, and the blogosphere and the news media grabbed onto that to mean something really, really huge. And IO9 had a little write-up about that, and somebody had posted up a photograph of the shadow ship being excavated at Syria Planum.
Yep, it is.
I mean, but that just goes to show that somehow, you know, the love for this show has managed to stay strong, and despite all the obstacles in front of it.
Yeah, a lot of people on Twitter were making mention of, so did Curiosity find something in Syria Planum? The world wants to know. And even Straczynski tweeted out, said, so NASA, you feel free to tell me on the QT what you found there.
right. But I, you know, yeah, I when we started this 7 years ago, you know, we had the goal in mind of covering everything that we could regarding the Babylon 5 universe. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that we expected it to really
last this long.
Yeah.
Have you ever listened to your show before?
No, I tune out after about 5 minutes of my gums flapping, so I really have no idea.
It's the Tim factor.
It really is. We managed to get two of the most passionate and expository Babylon 5 fans together on the same podcast, and I think it's been good.
Oh, I think it's been marvelous.
Raised all sorts of questions. We've deflected or answered all sorts of commentary and expand. We've argued to death stuff that most people would have given up on after 10 minutes.
And I do have to say this, Mr. Willerth, I hope that you are sitting in a place where you can exit a room easily, because I'm about to make your head swell. Having Jeffrey on board from the beginning gave us a legitimacy that I don't know that we would have had otherwise, because Jeffrey, you were able to get us the cast and crew to come on and talk about their experiences. And while I don't doubt that Summer's tenacity would have gotten a number of them, I don't know that, no offense, Summer, but I don't know that you would have got a snack man. And that has got to have gone down in Babcast history as one of the most epic interviews ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't have known where to find the snack man.
Well, I wouldn't have even existed. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Right. I wouldn't have known how to find Bear Burge, you know.
Right.
And how integral was he to the show? I mean, all the stuff that he came up with.
Yep.
Wow. Thank you for the kind words, but I'm really not sure that they're accurate, because you guys have been making this show long before I was even involved in Babylon 5, so I'm not sure that you're talking to the right Jeffrey. There must have been somebody else you guys were dealing with.
And here's the other one that I love, is I happened to go back and listen to the very first show ever. And Jeffrey, you and I were very obsequious and very, you know, yes, sir, no, sir, you know, pardon me, excuse me, that kind of stuff. And then we got to know each other and it's like, oh, okay.
That was after we had our night in Washington, D.C.
Oh, that night. I will never forget that night.
Haven't washed.
You two cuddled, didn't you? You two cuddled all night long. I'm so jealous. Here's something funny. I've been doing a Babylon 5 rewatch. Hush. I watched the blooper reel for season 3. And there's this great outtake where Jeffrey glides up to Bruce and Claudia as the new Kosh. And Bruce keeps stumbling over his lines. And the second time you glide in and Bruce stumbles again, you see your shoulders droop a little bit, your head just kind of drops, and you shake your head back and forth. And I said, I've seen Jeffrey do that to me and Michael. just recognizing the body language in the Kosh costume is something that I've seen him do to us in person. Just, I laughed my ass off for like 10 minutes.
Was that bloopers that they were showing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, oh, I remember that. Very clearly, that was, I think, for the purposes of that blooper reel, they had already cut out, like, when you saw me shake my head like that, that was already like the seventh time I've done it.
Yeah, the blooper reel only has like 2 of the takes, but the one where you see your shoulders just drop and you shake your head, I'm like, I've seen that in person and it was aimed at me. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was brutal. Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that. And I'm not sure if that was – I think my recollection is, if that wasn't the very first day that we shot with that costume and the first scene that I had done in that costume, if it wasn't the first time, it was maybe the No, now that I think about it, I think it was the second one. There's no way we have enough. I was going to say, there's no way we have enough time for me to describe this, but this is a Tim Calendar show, so I could probably go on until March. The costume wasn't complete. We were still building it. And I remember that they, when I first put it on, the very first time, I think I just had to stand somewhere or something, and but I couldn't walk because you would see my knees hit the shower curtain. So we had this like these high tech camping mats where you, I guess they're just like you lay a mat out and then you put your sleeping bag on top of that or something like that. And they were kind of high tech. Anyway, I found one of these things. I cut it to the right length and I held it under the shower curtain against my knees so that you wouldn't see my knees hitting the shower curtain so much. And there was so much of the costume that was literally like literally duct taped on, you know, at that moment. So it was a real struggle as I was trying to figure out how to wear this new costume for the first time. And here I'm, and it was the first time I really had to walk and enter into the scene. And then there's Bruce, you know, messing up the line over and over and over and over. And I was just like, I was beside myself. I think I shit a baby Vorlon that night.
And now you know where baby Vorlons come from.
That's there right.
Oh my goodness.
No, but Jeffrey, that was, I mean, having you on board, getting us interviews with Bruce Boxleitner, Wayne Alexander, and Snackman, and Stephen First, he was our first interview, ironically enough.
Well, you know, in fairness, it sure was a whole lot easier back then too, because everybody was, the camaraderie was still around. There was still activity. There were still, you know, conventions that we were going to and stuff like that as groups of people. So, yeah, trying to get those interviews today. Yeah, that not as easy.
Sure. But that's okay. It's as much a matter of timing as anything else.
Yes.
And it worked out, so.
And the funny thing is we're not the only Babylon 5 podcast out there anymore. We're still the first, and I think we still have the metric butt ton of awesome interviews.
They're pretenders.
Hopefully we have set a bar for other B5 fans to shoot for
or avoid.
I've been at that bar for a long time.
Yeah.
Now we have a few final messages, don't we?
Yes, we do. We have some final farewells that we should definitely play.
Hey, Babcasters. This is Brad from Pod Culture and TARDIS to Interrupt Us. I couldn't let the final episode of the Babylon podcast go by without writing in. I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for all the years of geekery on one of my favorite TV shows. The Babylon podcast was one of the first shows that I listened to on a regular basis and was a part of the community. It will be a sad day when there aren't any new episodes coming down the feed, and I count myself very lucky to have been a part of the show for the brief time that I was. Again, thanks for everything, guys, and we'll see you on the other side.
Brad says it was a brief time, but I think the brief time he had, he probably lost about a dozen years off his life because he was editing the show in those glory days when I was on a crappy landline sitting outside on the deck because my personal life was starting to come unraveled at that point in time. And
I thought it was because you had no new technology in the valley you lived in.
Well, that's true. Yes. All around us, they were getting in, you know, Fios and all kinds of high-tech connections, and we'd still were on a dial-up line, or could go for extremely expensive cable modems. It was like, you know, one or the other. And yeah, so that was. I mean, yes, that's why I was on the landline, but the situation in which I was trying to not disturb the rest of my household with this, I'm sure was part of the fun that he had trying to bring my audio up and balance everybody else's down. So he did a marvelous job, Brad. We are very grateful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brad.
Oh, hey, it's the gang over at the Critical Myth Podcast, and we just wanted to say our fond farewell to our, what would we call these guys? Our original inspirations over at the Babylon Podcast, you know, our
muses,
our launching pad.
We could even call them
our inspiration.
The first ones.
That's right, the first ones.
Yes.
Yes. Very
bingo.
Good.
Well, I don't know how many people may remember this. If you've been longtime listeners of the Babylon Podcast, certainly you have. But, you know, we all got together originally as part of the Voices of Babylon and the audio drama Three-Edged Sword. And before that, we were all people who sent in a lot of listener feedback. And so we would not be here, you know, three times a week recording and putting out our own show, if it wasn't
it's all
for
your
the fact
fault,
that we
Summer.
Had met. That's right. It's all your fault. So
no one to blame but yourself.
That's right. But certainly we are thankful for everything that has come out for the last several years from the Babylon Podcast. We're sorry to see it come to an end, but it has been a great run. Any other thoughts, guys, for the for this conclusion to the Babylon Podcast?
The part of us that is leaving will miss the part of you that is staying.
And I think the original show itself taught us that all good things have to come to an end. And I'm glad that it is going out having covered everything it could cover. And I never imagined, after marveling at the way Tim could go on and on, that I could actually be on a show that regularly goes over an hour or two. So thank you, Tim, for helping us all find our voice.
The Babylon Podcast is one of the first podcasts that I ever started listening to regularly and got into. And well, my involvement in podcasting has escalated a bit since then, and you guys probably played at least a small part in that. So thank you very much. It's a great show, and it got me into stuff like this with a cool crew such as the Critical Myth guys, and you shall be missed.
Indeed. And, you know, certainly our show has taken a few pointers from the Babylon Podcast, as we took the concept of deep geeking and just decided to apply it to everything. So there you go. But what some people may not know, and going back to the very beginning of what Critical Myth used to be, you know, my first foray into building a website and putting the reviews on there back when I first started over 10 years ago, the site was originally called the Shrine of Entilzah. And in fact, the domain of Entil 2001 was because my handle at the time was Entilzah, and it was the year 2001 that I founded the website. So that endures to this day. So the Critical Myth had a very strong original Babylon 5 connection, and so it's only fitting that we evolved out of the Babylon Podcast, which was talking about that very show that we all hold so closely to our hearts. So once again, from all of us over here at Critical Myth, farewell, and we'll see you on the other side of the rim.
Good job, guys. Good job.
Aww.
Aww. Aww. Can I, you know, I remember when the three-edged sword thing started out, and it wasn't like these guys kind of like, hey, you know what? We're all have the common interest. It was like these voicemails that came in with Yarstow and Edmund and John or Tajan, and they were giving each other grief. And then somebody, I think it might have been Yarsto. Somebody came in with a barrage of missiles to blow somebody up, and all of a sudden we had this narrative, this other narrative that was going on in our voicemail segments, and it was like, okay. And then yes, we got the very excellent three-edged sword, which I don't know that they had the opportunity to complete all their the story over there, but what they did was great stuff, and highly recommend checking that out.
I believe Edmund does have the final three or four episodes. They just need to edit some things together when he has time. As you can see from what he said there, they are doing, what, 500 shows a week now over at Critical Myth? So he's a little busy.
It is kind of like a... It is kind of like a disease. You catch it from somebody, and then you mm-hmm. give it to somebody else, and then they get it and catch it and pass it on to somebody else.
I think that's exactly what you guys managed to do, was infect some otherwise very nice people. And now you've
had
it for life. They're going to have a limp forever from doing podcasts.
We showed them that it was okay to fly their Babylon 5 flags.
Or that, you know what, it's okay. You can get on a microphone and yak for an hour and a half and somebody might actually listen to it.
Yeah. I didn't realize.
And to be inspired to go.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't realize that we had actually kicked off that many podcasts. I knew Slice of Sci-Fi had inspired a few. I knew Winging It had inspired a few. But I didn't know that so many people went off and did their own thing. Because of what we're doing here, I'm all for clipped.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny to think. I mean, I'm not saying that we're necessarily pioneers, but we did start off in those early days of what podcasting was. You know, yeah, Slice of Sci-Fi and Winging It were the first ones that I heard looking around for something to listen to, and that's what got me originally inspired to do the Babcast. And I can't say that it's because there wasn't really anything else out there to listen to. I just think we might have parted as we were the right people in the right place at the right time to get other people inspired to do the thing, you know? Not that, you know, and again, we've had a great time doing this. I can't say that, well, we're certainly not the best. We never won a Parsec Award, so there.
So there.
Yet,
yeah,
still a little miffed about that. Not even one. Come on, man, really?
Well, I would have thought if anything, the J. Michael Straczynski interview would have gotten us that. And it's like, all right, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, anyway,
can't top that one. Oh well.
Yeah.
Parsec Award, the Parsec Award for. Most podcasts spawned off of your podcast.
Hey.
It's a new category. There we go.
There you go. So how many
created a new category?
There you go. We need to count up how many of our inspired children have won, and then we can be proud of them.
There you go. That's what it's all about. It's about watching your children do well. What a load of crap. I believe we have another voicemail farewell.
We have one last one, so here we go.
Hello, Babcasters. It's Edmund from Greenville. I know the whole Motley Crue sent you that recording the other day, but there is a certain tradition around these 20-year anniversary things that JMS established that I felt I should honor on my own. A toast to the original Gary. To the man who, me being such a novice in IRC chat rooms, almost knocked me off my chair when he sent me that direct message that was the actual beginning of those infamous coordinated voicemails. And someone who, if you have managed to drag him out from behind whatever dike he's been hiding behind the last few years, has just made me look very foolish. But probably not quite as foolish as Trampas after that Star Fury X-Wing smackdown. So... to absent friends, in memory still bright, Yarsto. Hello, old friend, wherever you are. Be seeing you.
Now I am going to cry.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, Yarsta, we miss him terribly. I don't know.
He still has a bot lurking in the IRC. I think it's been there for 4.5 years straight.
Well, I hope he's in good health. That's my greatest wish. Yeah.
And it was actually a lot of fun digging up some of those old B5 promos that he did and cleaning them up to play them on some of the last few shows that people have heard.
Yeah.
That's all I could do, people.
Yeah. It's all right. It's all right. That was good. So do we need to take a break here and then come back and yak a little more?
Yes.
All right.
Everybody get your tissues.
I know, right?
Isn't it time that you got away from it all? Now that the Shadow Wars have ended, the planet Zaha Doom has undergone a huge renovation and has become the playground of the galaxy. We invite you to come see our new massive casinos, our five-star restaurants, luxurious spas, and the finest entertainment in this sector. Come see the masterful technomages Galen and Roy as they dazzle your eyes with the multicolored light spectacular. Come see the original music performances of the Pandorian Blue Man Group, or cross the street and see the original music performances of the Andorian Blue Man Group. And of course, you can still catch Cirque du Soleil. The White Star Cruisers are waiting to take you on the vacation of your dreams. Zaha Doom. No one leaves the same as they arrive.
How do you like your rock?
JMS wrote a show for TV one day. Call it Babylon 5. Station 1, Station 2, and yes, Station 3. We're there for a while, but we're just not meant to be. 5 miles long, and it's made of blood and steel. All the aliens live inside. Babylon 5, still alive through the shadow wall. Love to insane from the pain.
Says geeks can't rock. Sci-fi. Get your rock hot. Ah, yes. For everyone who didn't hear the live stream, we brought back the puns, and there was much rejoicing in the IRC.
Yay.
You have no idea how many people literally were crying from not having your puns, Jeffrey.
It was like a million voice cried out in terror and then were suddenly silenced.
They do not understand.
Yes, well, Jeffrey's...
That's just something Kosh would say, I think.
Takes a lot of work coming up with this. Yeah, takes a lot of work coming up with those puns, and it was all for them, and they appreciate it.
We love IRC.
So, Summer, let me ask you a question here.
Okay.
In doing all these years of the Babylon podcast, what have you learned?
I have learned that geeks do not know how to end an argument. They will just keep gnawing on that bone and gnawing on it and gnawing on it. I have come to have a deeper appreciation for some of the storylines just because analyzing them made me dig deeper into what was going on. And yeah, just talking about them, having a group of people to actually sit and talk about them with was a joy.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Jeffrey, since you're here.
What did I get out of it?
Yeah, what did you learn? What do you come away with?
Well, you might recall that when we started this 100 years ago, I didn't have gray hair. Most of that has come from you guys. Most of that has come from you guys. What have I learned? What I learned was that there is, I don't mean to echo what Summer said, but there is a boundless, endless abyss of babble wabble that you guys can come up with. The Babylon podcast is a lot like the issue in the Gaza Strip, you know? It was thousands of years ago that started, and they're still fighting over it, and I think that's clear now, too. I never once imagined that it would go as long as it did, and never once imagined that it could go to the depths that you guys did. You didn't just analyze the bejesus out of the shows, but I'm pretty sure you did the books. I think you did all the toys. You probably did every spinoff series there ever was, every actor that was ever on there. You've probably, any time the word Babylon has been written in any context, in any form of any literature ever written in human mankind, you guys analyzed it six ways from Sunday, and that's awesome. Kudos to you guys for your tenacity, your perseverance, and the entertainment value that you brought to all of us.
Yeah, it was really something when we had that reggae band on.
we need a reggae version of the theme song for the 20th anniversary.
Well, actually, we can ask Sci-Fright if they're up for that. But
there we go.
No, finding more Babylon 5 sci-fi rock parody was a surprise, because I didn't know people were still making Babylon 5 related parody music, and the stuff that was coming out was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Tom Smith's 5 years. Luke Ski singing The Curlers of Delenn.
Just Mr. Londo to Just a Gigolo. That was awesome.
Right.
But here's my question for you, Timothy, dear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you think Joe Straczynski learned about his show from your podcast?
Well, you know what? At the risk of sounding arrogant, I don't think he learned anything at all.
Go ahead, because you're off air in a few more minutes. You're done.
Yeah. No, I don't know that. You know, I mean, it's hard. I don't think he learned anything at all other than the fact that there are still people out there that fly the flag. But I do know that in a couple of his forewords and introductions to the script books, he would make mention of having listened to a podcast about Babylon 5. And I know the Jason Carter interview gets mentioned specifically, and even more specifically about the whole idea that Marcus Cole was a virgin. So, I don't think anybody can teach that man anything.
Wow, that's arrogant. All right, let me ask it to you this way. Subject or issue do you think JMS should have paid attention to?
You should have pushed harder for a Lensman movie.
Ding, there it is.
There it is.
That's what I'm most disappointed in. Come on, Joe. They can make John Carter. We can get us some Kimball Kinison on the big screen.
Stormman says that was 1 hour and 17 minutes on the lens.
There we
so
go.
The bookies
who,
can. Yeah.
Who had the over under? Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, I think this past year for me, not being able to get a hold of a couple of final more interviews, I still would have loved to have gotten Neil Gaiman on here just to sit Tim in a corner and
blah, blah.
Have him explain how awesome Day of the Dead is.
It wouldn't have worked.
I think it would have.
No, I don't think so.
Neil Gaiman has like unicorn dust and fairy magic. He would have dazzled you and you would have been changed forever.
Now, what are you waving your hand around like you're a Jedi? Huh? I'm a Toydarian. Since we're crossing the streams.
There we go.
Now, I tell you what I learned is that things that I would have thought were outrageous in terms of plotting or character development or whatever, inevitably there was somebody out there, some listener, who would come up with a real life example of how that actually happened. You know, the first one that I recall, we were talking about, well, TKO, and it's the bit with the episode before, I can't remember right offhand the title, so sue me, but it's the one where Susan gets her final dying conversation with her father, you know, just as he passes away across the Gold Channel. And I remember going, oh god, that's, you know, how melodramatic and blah blah blah. And sure enough, next week, did we not get a voicemail for somebody going, well, you know, when my wife's father passed away, they had been estranged for many years and they reconciled, just, you know, and it was just like, and I'm like going, okay. And then there's easily another dozen examples of that where I would go, you know, in our deep geeking of the episode, well, this is kind of ridiculous. And somebody would call in or send in an email going, well, you know, Tim, when I was a teenager, or, you know, Tim, when I was like, and it's like, okay. I get the message now, which is why Day of the Dead is no good, because nobody called in going, you know, I drew chalk on the floor when Comic Cahotec was coming by, and that night I met my grandfather.
You're going to make me hunt down Neil Gaiman, aren't you?
Yes.
Sure, because I'd like to congratulate him on The Doctor's Wife. That was a fabulous episode.
Okay, fine.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I'll work on that. But yeah, I think at this point, any future shows will be specials. It won't be a weekly thing. We won't have the weekly live stream going out. And I will miss chatting with all these crazy B5 fans on a regular basis.
Yep, no doubt. Gary in Jacksonville, we will miss his, well, he and Neil, as they were battling it out.
Yes, they're going to have to find
domination.
They're going to have to find another voicemail line to hold on to be that lifeline in the middle of the night, that security blanket.
And what is that feedback number, Summer?
You can actually still call it. As long as we don't go a month without somebody calling it, it'll stay active. And that's 206-338-2259. Go ahead, write it down. Go ahead.
Instead of calling it the listener feedback line now, it'll just be the Lonely Hearts Club line.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I could tell you, after doing this for 7 years, the only numbers I know of it is 2259. I couldn't tell you what the rest of it is, because that was never my job. And I think there was an episode where Summer wasn't there and it was just me and Jeffrey and probably Michael at that time.
Well, the key was always to say it as separate numbers at the end and then as the 2259. That was the key.
Yeah, but I never learned that part of it.
Well, we still have time.
It's only fair. He tuned out when I did the lead out, and
and you tuned out for the other 45 minutes of it. Yeah.
She was on IRC. She was busy.
Oh. Naruto has had the best one when we were deep geeking on.
You missed that one, Jeff.
Oh, you missed that. God. I was going on, and everybody sort of dropped out. I think we had some Skype issues going on, but so I was just kind of going on and on and on, and I paused to see if anybody else was out there, and it was just this pause, and then Laura goes, "I'm sorry, Tim, what were you saying?"
and then all of us lost it. And I felt it was necessary for me to drop in the cricket sounds in there, and that just made Neil's day.
Oh, that was beautiful.
I think I used to tune out quite a bit when I had to do the show from the road, when I would call you guys while I was sitting on the 405 freeway, you know, with my cell phone.
Yes.
I think I caused more than a few accidents that I'll take.
I think yeah, but they were all low speed, so.
Yeah.
Oh, very low speed, absolutely. Absolutely.
You did call in once from a bar, didn't you?
Couple times.
No, that must have been somebody else. I couldn't have. I would never come to work like that. No.
Those were the most fun ones, actually.
I think I called from bars. I called from baseball stadiums. I think I called from Telluride Ski Resort in Colorado. I think I
yes, in search of snow that you never
in
found.
Snow, right? Exactly.
Bad timing.
That was the night. I think we talked to Carrie Dobro that day, right? I think that's yep. the same episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Where else might I have done that show? A laundry list of freeway numbers, but.
So Jeffrey, who was your favorite interview
on the show?
Yeah.
Wow, I think it's kind of hard to pick any one of them because I love all those people so much. I mean, Stephen was always a delight. He was great. Boxleitner was terrific. Christensen was terrific. Claudia, yeah,
she was earthy.
She was raunchy. That was our first naughty episode we ever did.
It was, yes.
I also remember when I brought John Radulovich on, who was the first AD to talk about the. Oh, wow. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yes, we had a number of people on there that I still like to consider that I'm friends with and stay in touch with as best possible. And I don't know that I have any. I think probably the best had to be Snackman.
When you're hungry, you're hungry.
You're hungry.
I just wish you guys could have seen that because you guys have images in your minds of what that conversation was like. I have memories of being there with him, sitting at this. We were outside a restaurant or something like that. Oh, yeah, we were outside the bar. Oops, shocking. And sitting at this metal table in the parking lot. Oh, he was a funny. He is a funny, funny man. He's a very funny man.
Yeah.
And I think that came through. So that was the one I didn't expect. That was the one I didn't expect.
I think the most off the wall, I shouldn't say off the wall one, but the happiest unexpected one was Ed Wasser. And we had to cut it short because his kid came out bleeding or something from karate class.
Yes.
Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, I think you are. I think you are.
It's like my son's covered in blood. I've got to go now. Something like that. I was like, okay, I haven't heard that one before. That's awesome.
Well, he was talking about. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeffrey.
Oh, I was just going to say he's used that time and time again, over and over and over it.
Well, he also. Delivered what all his fans are waiting for, and he's talking about holding his grandchild. and looking down at him and saying, "What do you want?"
What do you want?
Well played, Mr. Watson. Well played.
Well played. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff all the way around. All the way around.
I also want you guys to know how much I appreciate, the fans may not know this, but you guys were so kind to me throughout this entire process, because you would let me come on and for a few minutes record the first part of the show and then for a few moments record the last part of the show, and then I would eject and bail out, and you guys would go deep geeking for the next 16 hours after that. And I really appreciate it. I got a lot more work done that way. So thanks,
well, good for you. Well, I know that there was once or twice you called from an editing bay, and I think you were actually even who do we talk with? One of the editors, Skip Robinson, I think. And weren't you guys working on a project at that time together?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I forgot about the Skip Robinson interview. Yes, I think so. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so good. Well, we're glad that we were able to help keep you, you know, doing things that you can be employed. Well, if only to give you the time to do it, so you didn't have to.
Yeah, and more so, I think it was probably the right decision, because that way I didn't go buck up your intense conversations and ruining them on you as I am doing right now.
Now's the time to do it, dude.
And a thanks goes out to Michael Menengay.
Yes.
For helping us get it started in the beginning and putting up with us, because pretty quick, we didn't even let him be part of the show. He was just sitting in the studio all by himself.
for a while there.
Yeah.
I think one job,
push the big red button to start recording. Nope, couldn't do it. Couldn't get it done. Some of the best stuff of the Babylon podcast was never, ever recorded.
Oh, yes. There was the show before the show. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. But
and
no,
I also want to thank Warner Brothers for never suing us.
Yes.
In this day and age, that we actually, something.
You know, as if they actually knew we existed, given how Warner seems to treat that property.
Well, I'm sure once somebody saw Joe's notes in the books, you know, saying that he had referred, that he had listened to a Babylon podcast or something to that effect, I'm sure somebody quickly said, "What is he talking about here? Go find out. Is there a podcast we should know about? Are we a little, where's our money? Where's our money? Where's our money?"
I don't know that Warner's is ever going to get it.
Not from us. We're cool.
We can always just hope that someday we have more B5 and a reason to grab our wheelchairs and come out and talk about him again.
Back in my days, we had Star Furies. And they moved correctly physically.
I think I've only got one last thing to say.
And what is that?
Well, I found this old humor file that was posted on the Usenet groups literally in, I think, 97. And it's called The Complete Missing Lines. Somebody went through each of the first, this is how old this is. Season 5 hadn't actually started airing in the UK yet.
Wow.
So they were still going on and saying, okay, some of these season 4 episodes are going to be spoilers. So if you don't want to read them, don't read them. And we'll get to season 5 later. But they did these parodies of the intros. They did these extra lines, these what they called missing lines from some of the conversations. And some of them are fall down funny. And the season 2 intro that they did still makes me laugh to this day. So it goes like this. The Babylon Project was our last best hope for peace. A giant sitting duck floating deep between warring territories, housing over 250,000 humans and aliens. A shining powder keg floating in space, waiting to blow in the night. This is the dawn of the third age of mankind, the year I'll bring the great war upon us all. The year is 2259. I am John Starkiller Sheridan, and I am the match. The name of the fuse is Babylon 5. And nice. it's just hearing the and this is the year I'll bring the great war down upon us all. It's like, oh, just that whole reading that and hearing Bruce's voice doing the intro with the music just makes me laugh every time. The name of the fuse is Babylon 5.
You guys did some very good intros for the series over the years.
Yeah, one of my favorites is the year 4 and 5.
Season 4, where we had all the different voices and how nobody could tell it was your voice because you weren't on a phone.
Yes, that's right.
Nobody could tell it was you. If we had,
we had a contest. We ran a contest to identify all the voices.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where it doesn't sound like Tim. Oh, that was awesome. So will you miss us, Jeffrey, just a little bit?
I already miss you guys.
And you need to improve your aim.
Nice.
Well, I have to say, I mean, I think that more than anything, this stands to a monument. You could say stubbornness or tenacity, but to borrow from Delenn, we achieved everything we set out to achieve. You know, and I know, knowing me personally the way I do, I'm notorious for starting things, but finishing tends to be a weak spot.
Much like this episode.
Yes, right. We're kind of dragging it off. I know, Jeffrey, you gotta go do something like drink tequila.
No.
Yeah, I mean that's something to be said. And you know, this information is there for everybody to go back and listen to. So
And everybody, literally after this episode is posted to the website, the Babylon podcast feed will contain every episode back to show zero. So you won't have to subscribe to it in piecemeal. People who come along new to the show will have the entire run to download and listen to.
Good God. Can you imagine listening to this podcast end to end nonstop from zero to what is this, like episode 15,000 right now?
This will officially be number 280.
Really?
Officially number 280. And I think including the holiday specials, this makes a total of 304 or 305 episodes that we've done.
Wow. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
And let's hear it for Jeremy, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stepped into the... And
well, he just... It's interesting that he just said that because that's what happened. I listened to all of them in a row. I had listened to the podcast maybe the first 6 episodes, and then something in my life changed, and I had moved, and things happened. And then I came back to it, and then shortly after I finished everything, he was like, oh... It's going to end, and I couldn't let that happen. So,
Stepped into the void to take over engineering duties, and
now that you have this on your resume, you'll never work in this town again.
All right.
Well, yeah, I plan to have him expand his skills by putting him to work on the revivified Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas. So, we haven't trained him for nothing.
Yeah, these are skills that, you know, once you're in, you never get out.
Yeah.
Well, yep.
It happens, I suppose.
Yes, it does. That said, thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you, Tim, for 7 wonderful years of wrapping Babylon 5 around us like a warm blanket.
Oh.
Like a plywood blanket.
But yes, that's That's it, people. We're going
to
call it.
There's no more. Nothing to see. Move on.
Yep,
that's right.
We're calling it a show.
Tim's going to be the last guy, right? He's going to flip the switch?
Yep. Tim's going to flip, turn out the lights.
Okay.
We will, as always, this is the Babylon Podcast. The site will still be up, babylonpodcast.com. We will still get emails, babylonpodcast@gmail.com. The forums will still go on as long as Scott keeps running the site. They'll be out there. The voicemail number will stay active as long as there are people calling it. And that is 206-338-2259. That's 206-338-2259.
The year the great podcast came to an end.
And we'll see you sometime beyond the rim.